right. Yes, sir. Good morning, friends. The On Par Radio Show is back and better than ever. Thank you for joining me on the on this chilly Saturday, April 9th, 2016. Got a great show. My man John Huggins, our resident expert, and you can catch him at Golf World and other premium golf publications. But we're going to take a short break. When we're back, we'll listen to John Huggins. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
Morning, John. How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I've had better mornings, I think. A little audio trouble here.
Seems a bit chaotic on your end.
I know. It is a little crazy. How you doing? We're live now, and but we're on, and we're... We had a little difficult trouble audio on my end here. Apologize for that. How are you doing this morning?
Very well, thanks.
So just wanted to get you in touch base with you regarding the just the season in general, your thoughts on the season in general prior to the Masters. We're at the quarter pole. We'll get plenty to the we'll get to the Masters in a second, but just your thoughts on the season to this point. We're at the quarter pole, as I say. We got Spieth has won already, Bubba Watson won. Adam Scott twice, Jason Day twice, a fairly packed world golf rankings at the top 10 there. Just your thoughts on the season to this point.
Well, it's been a good year so far to be Australian. So, I mean, they're top two players, as you pointed out, both won twice in big events over here. The European Tour is kind of in a state of flux, I would say, at the moment. They are talking, as we know, to the Asian Tour over some kind of merger, joint venture going forward that may or may not be even slightly competitive for the PGA Tour. But, the first half of the year, apart from, you know, once you get past the Middle East, the three-week Middle East swing on the European Tour, in the last 2 months, it's all about America. And that 2 months has been all about Jason Day and Adam Scott, which is... As you pointed out, the top players seem to have been performing as they're supposed to so far this year. Just about everybody's won except Rory.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And just briefly, I mean, how about the South Africans on the European Tour? They seem to be winning every other week.
Well, they're getting a wee bit of an advantage at this time of year over there. I mean, just about every second week they're playing in South Africa, which helps them a little bit. They've done very well out of the number of tournaments they have on the European Tour. A number of their players have done well or won and got their tour cards through that system. So the number of South African players on the European Tour continues to grow, although I have to say I was slightly surprised. I think there was only 3 South Africans in the field here at the Masters this week, which surprised me more than a bit. That's a very low number for them.
Right. Oh, you mentioned the Masters, and, you know, if today is supposed to be moving day, I'm not sure what you call yesterday. It's just been a very interesting couple of days, a crazy leaderboard, a crazy couple of days with the weather conditions, razor-sharp conditions. You know, at one point, sixth place. On, you know, heading to the back nine, next thing you know, he misses the cut. So just a wild couple of days at Augusta, your take.
Yeah, I mean, as we all know, it's that kind of golf course. The great thing, or one of the great things about this golf course is that a lot of numbers have come into play on quite a few of the holes, especially the holes with water on them on the back nine. And that's where Phil Mickelson was found out yesterday. He, I think he 15 and 16 with an idea for him. I mean, he's very surprising to see him miss the cut anywhere, but certainly here. But, I mean, the golf course has been, you know, they've clearly decided fairly early on, I think, in the proceedings that 18 under isn't going to win here this year. As we know, they can manipulate the golf course. The only thing out of their control is the weather, but they can manipulate the everything else to come up with a winning score that they want. And it seems to me, if the conditions today are pretty much similar to yesterday, and the pin positions are extremely difficult again, and if the wind gets up, it's going to be kind of a war of attrition just like yesterday. So if somebody handed anybody 10 under par right now, I think they'd grab their hands off. I mean, the 10 under par will almost certainly win, and maybe even less than that.
Yeah, I would agree. And on some levels, I hope the Mother Nature changes her course, just because we love the back nine, the roars at Augusta in the back nine, and we certainly like to see that. I mean, clearly a U.S. Open has broken out at the Masters, and so I hope that Mother Nature sort of recedes a little bit and gives us some of that excitement back. We certainly have the leaderboard is primed for it, but we all like to see those birdies coming down the stretch on the back nine.
Yeah, well, the weather forecast for tomorrow is much better, apparently, not as windy, and I'm sure they'll set the course up to bring the 65, maybe even 64, into play for somebody coming from behind. I mean, that's what we all want to see, as you say. I mean, the last thing the Masters should ever be, in so many ways, is another U.S. Open. Completely different form of golf, or should be. But what we saw yesterday was, you know, on a typical U.S. Open course, certainly, but it was basically U.S. Open golf. It was a grind. It was trying to make par. It was playing for the middle of the green. It was just trying to avoid the big number. And a lot of people didn't do that. But I'm not sure I want to see that for more than, you know, a day and a half at any Masters. I'm hopeful that certainly tomorrow the low score will come back into play.
And this leaderboard, it's a little bit of a potpourri, if you will, of international players, American players, just and an amateur in DeChambeau. It's sort of a wild leaderboard. It doesn't seem like a typical Masters weekend leaderboard, at least in terms of like history.
Well, it's a typical, you know, international leaderboard, which I think we should get more and more used to in the future, because that's the way golf's going to be at the top level. They're going to be coming from all over the place. But you're right. I mean, I don't think we should get too worked up about Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy head to head at this stage. There's about 30 guys could win this tournament, and Jason Day included. I mean, Jason Day has performed, you know, mediocre so far by his highest standards, and he's only five off the lead. He could still win. So there's any number of names, but I don't think we're quite at the stage where we can sit back and just watch Jordan and Rory going at it.
No, I don't think so, and I agree with you. I think people are excited for that, you know, that 1-2 matchup in terms of a position, obviously, and it's sort of, you know, I feel like people are trying to, you know, we never really got Phil and Tiger, so they're going to go for Spieth and McIlroy, or, you know, or Spieth and Day kind of thing, and this is sort of like, you know, this is what they're hoping for.
Well, that's the box office, isn't it? I mean, but I'm looking at the leaderboard right now. I'm sitting in the media center, and I'm just scrolling down a little bit here. And you've got here's a name that would be an interesting winner of the Masters. How about Kiradish Athibanrat? He's only four shots off the lead, and the only worry I would think would be, do they have a jacket that would fit that guy? That he's on the large side. But I tell you what, he's a hell of a player. I mean, he's really good. He could win, you know, guys like that. And then you've got Matsuyama, even Søren Kjeldsen, who's the most unlikely contender on a course of this length, I have to say. He's not the longest hitter, but, you know, he's from Denmark. And then you've got Scott Piercy from America, Danny Lee from New Zealand, Danny Willett, who I'm a big Danny Willett fan, and he's only four off the lead. And even Sergio Garcia, the man who professes to hate Augusta National, is right there. He's four behind as well. So, I mean, as I said, my goodness, there's any number of potential winners at this point.
Well, just getting back to Effie Barnrat, I'm not sure. I think he was already drafted, or he's in the draft of the NFL this coming next month. So you better be careful. He doesn't wake up in New York in a New York Giants outfit.
But, you know, DeChambeau, but joking about, I would, I wouldn't, him. I wouldn't dismiss him at all. He's a potential winner. He's a terrific player.
Yeah, and he's got a really great attitude, doesn't he? A lot of people don't know him. I obviously know him from the European Tour. You obviously know him much better than I, but he's a bit of a character as well. I mean, he's not any kind of wallflower.
Oh no, he won't get down on himself. I mean, and I tell you what, if it comes to a shoot, if he hangs around today and keeps himself in contention, come the back nine tomorrow afternoon, he's the kind of guy that could go really low. I mean, I say that, but I mean, he could shoot millions as well, but he's got a 31, 32 on the back nine in him, no question.
DeChambeau, do you think everybody's over the fact that he plays with a set of golf clubs that are all the same length at this point?
Well, I think everybody's quite fascinated by that aspect of his approach to the game, and I saw a fair bit of him earlier this year. He played, as I mentioned earlier, the Middle East swing on the European Tour. He played Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Qatar, and I was at two of those events, and I spent about 20 minutes talking to him after one round, I think, in Abu Dhabi. And he's a really interesting character to talk to. I mean, he's not slow in coming forward. There's no lack of confidence there, shall we say. But I tell you what, he's a really interesting guy to talk to and an interesting guy to watch. My impression back then was the only thing that he kind of lacked, the only question mark I had was his short game, not his chipping as much, but a little bit further out, his pitching, sort of inside 100 yards. He looked a wee bit sort of one-dimensional to me in that aspect of the game, and he touched on that himself yesterday in his interview in the media center here. He admitted that his wedge play right in this minute isn't quite at the level of Jordan Spieth, but then who is? Jordan Spieth might be the best short game exponent in the world at the moment, but at least this guy, he's thought about every single aspect of his game and the game in general, and it's going to be no surprise to see him contending in these things for the next 15 years or so.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
Welcome back to the John Paul Radio Show. Some little difficulties here. John and I are both from reporting from remote locations, so just wanted to touch base with you guys about that. So we were just wrapping up with DeChambeau, and I just wanted to jump back into that. I thought he handled the media afterwards fairly well, and I know you were talking about his short game, which proved to be pretty tidy at least yesterday or through the first 2 days. But his attitude after the round, I thought, was pretty good. I mean, people sort of were really, asking typical questions, and he was just like, come on, guys, I'm only four shots back. I thought he showed remarkable poise for a 22-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. I mean, I think he's every sports psychologist's dream, that kid. There's no downside. There's no negatives. It's all, it is what it is, and that's golf. And he was right. I mean, he said that people would point to the way he played the last hole yesterday and say, oh, he must be nervous. And he said, no, not at all. He just pulled two shots. But he also said it won't happen again tomorrow, which I thought was the most impressive comment he made all day.
Yeah, although it's impressive, but it's also, he's got guts. Let's just put it that way. How about that? We could say that on the air.
Well, that's right. He's tempting the golf gods. There's no doubt about that.
Right, exactly. And I don't know who's worse, the golf gods or the Augusta gods. Some of them can be pretty redemptive. So, an interesting weekend. I honestly, if Saturday, given the weather conditions, my wife asked me last night, who do you think is going to win? And I said that. With the weather conditions that are in there, or that you're experiencing, if Saturday was a movie title, it'd be There Will Be Blood, because the permutations in terms of where this leaderboard could go is just, it's incalculable.
Well, that's certainly true. I think you know, we can. The only thing we can assume is that the top of the board might thin out a bit. I mean, I'd be surprised if there's quite so many potential winners come this evening, because inevitably there'll be a few guys who won't play well. But I still think there's going to be maybe even double digits of guys with are going to wake up tomorrow morning thinking they've got a chance to win this thing, which is the more the merrier, I say. I think one of the greatest Masters I saw, but recent Masters, was in 2011 when Schwartzel won. And, you know, there was any number of guys could win right down to maybe the last three holes. I mean, that's terrific entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just, I want to talk to you, just to wrap up, just past the, getting past the Masters, and just talk about the big four here, or the top of the world golf rankings. And it seems to me that whenever the media talks about, the major media outlets talk about the top of the world golf rankings, it seems to me that they all are talking about how accessible the players are and how wonderful they are, and how like Ricky Fowler shoots 80 at Augusta, comes in, answers questions, is insightful, is polite. And it seems to me that when anybody talks like that, it seems to be more a knock on Tiger Woods than it is a celebration of this new breed of athlete, so to speak. Or maybe it's 50-50, I'm not sure. But it just seems to be, and you know, you talk about Brandel Chamblee, and we know his history with Tiger and all that stuff, but whenever he speaks of, you know, this celebration of this insightful and polite, and how you can be a competitor, but still be, I guess, a normal human being in the press room, it seems to me to be more of a knock against Tiger Woods than it is a celebration of these guys' attitudes and type of personalities?
Well, I think there's inevitably an aspect of that to it, but what happens is that in any era, if you like, you can call it that, is that the top player in the world has an enormous influence over what goes on below him. I mean, not just in terms of how they play and the swing technique and all that, but how they deal with the media. And as you said, I mean, it's easy to criticize Tiger in that front. I mean, he didn't try very hard and very, very often. He got burned early with the Esquire interview in his career, and obviously decided that was it as far as he was concerned with the media. He wasn't going to provide anything other than the bare minimum. And that's what he did for his whole career. And that, I think, influenced others just a little bit further down the world rankings. But happily, that's changed. I mean, Rory and Spieth Jordan Spieth are the perfect examples of guys who get it. They get the media aspect of their jobs. It's part of their job, whether they like it or not. And both of those guys, and Jason Day too, he's good too. When they come in or they're asked questions, they make an effort to answer the question. They don't just give the pat answer. They actually think about it and give their answer, not just the stereotypical answer that everyone else would give, that's the best thing about those guys. And long may it continue, because, as I say, their influence going forward over the next 10 to 15 years is going to be huge. And if everyone follows their lead, the media world, which is in a bad enough state as it is definitely going to benefit. They're terrific, all three of them.
But it's not like Tiger, you know, and I guess maybe part of the issue with Tiger is that we all know that he did get it. He just didn't want to get it or do it, I guess, so to speak.
I think he got very bad advice, I have to think, because as you said, I mean, Tiger is far from stupid. He's a very bright individual, and I think he was getting bad advice, and I think from people around him, and that's the only thing I can conclude from it, because he's clever enough, and certainly, I have no idea what his IQ is, but I have to feel it was pretty high. He's clever enough to get the media aspect of what he does for a living just as much as Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and Jason Day, and Ricky Fowler as well. You mentioned him, but he's a little bit different from the others. Actually, he's very, as you say, he's very, very nice. You cannot not like Ricky Fowler, but Ricky Fowler doesn't say anything. He's extremely bland. He's exactly the opposite of his clothing in terms of how much he gives to media. He's there. He'll answer the questions, but he says the same stuff every time. And when you actually sit down and look at what he said, he hasn't said very much at all, but he's very good at that.
Yeah, but, you know, and I wonder if that's just, he's just not, you know, and I don't mean this in a, you know, in a typical, in a negative way. he just may not be as bright as the other guys. I mean, some of those guys are really smart guys. I mean, you know, you compare like a, you know, I don't know, I just think it's Tiger, I think it's Steve Day. They're pretty smart guys, I think. So, you know, the way they articulate their feelings is also a reflection of their intelligence. And sometimes people don't want to, you know, I get that people don't want to say anything, but I also think sometimes they don't know what to say or how to say it.
Well, there may be part of that in Ricky, but I mean, I think he's far from stupid. I mean, that's a ridiculous word to use. But I think he's, my feeling with him is that he's been coached a little bit. You know, it's all about the brand these days sometimes, and I think he's been overcoached. I think he's overly careful. I think he's like in Tiger in the sense that he's so far from the line that would cause him problems with the public and the media that he could move an awful lot closer to that line and not hurt himself at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I didn't mean to, say that about Ricky. I mean, he's far from it. And maybe that's probably better said that he's maybe being a little overcoached because Ricky is certainly, let's just say there are far less deep thinkers, as you say, on the tour than Ricky Fowler. So,
yeah, and I can think of one or two. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and I know that Ricky's a pretty sharp tack, but maybe he's just a little overcoached, and that's fair. It is a learning curve for these guys, and you know, some people are just better at it than others. And so, you know, we'll just leave it at that. If you had to, let's say, draw a name for the not who you want, but who might surprise people down the stretch. Who would it be? Effie Bonrat? Would that be your guy? Would that be your horse to throw out there?
Well, I might not quite go that far. He's a potential winner.
No,
there's no question. But I'm a big Danny Willett guy. I have been for 2 or 3 years now, even before he sort of emerged to the heights that he's reached in the last 12 to 18 months. I think he's got a terrific technique and a terrific attitude, and he's not scared of winning. I mean, if anybody's looking for a, you know, quote-unquote dark horse of the group that's piled up behind the leaders right now, I would go for Danny Willett.
Yeah, I like him as well. He's got a win under his belt. I mean, obviously, it's not the Masters, but it's he does have a win under his belt this week, this year. He's had two wins. He had two wins last year, if I'm not mistaken. And so he comes in with good form, and another one of those characters on the European tour that probably a lot of people don't know.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think you'll get to know him over the next few years. He's going to be playing more and more in America. There's a whole group of up-and-coming young English lads, actually. Chris Wood is another one. Andy Sullivan, who played poorly this week, but he's a very good player. Chris Wood, who's unmissable in that he's 6'5", tallest man in the field here this week. He's a very good player too, and there's Matt Fitzpatrick, who's the former U.S. amateur champion. He's on the way up as well. He actually leads the greens in regulation statistic category after two rounds here. He's obviously still got a wee bit to learn on the greens, but tee to green, he's up there with anybody.
Well, John, I can't thank you for enough. I hope this wasn't too painful for you. I really apologize for the for the technical difficulties. I'm at a remote location myself, and it's been a little spotty here with the connection. So I appreciate your patience, number one. Technology is, as you know, a blessing and a curse. And so I do apologize for the interruptions, and I do appreciate your patience and your professionalism. Thank you so much for joining me this weekend. Enjoy the Masters.
Thank you. Not a problem. Anytime.
Okay, well, we look to have a little redemption ourselves and look forward to having you again on the show soon. We always enjoy you. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
Again, from Golf World Magazine, another fine publication on on your newsstands around the world today. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorcia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to the On Par Radio Show. Thank you for joining me on this chilly Saturday, April 9th, 2016. Sorry for the audio interference and complications, but we're off and running and looking forward to a great year. So I hope you guys will join us, and thank you for joining me this morning. And look forward to the Masters and enjoying whatever may come our way today. And God knows, who knows what can happen today with the conditions as they are. And looking forward to a great finish on Sunday. So thanks for joining me this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
This is your one-stop gospel celebration. Thank you for tuning in to Gospel Celebration, your one-stop, the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB.
You're listening to Ace and the Preacher Man on Gospel Celebration, 1240.com.
Wait a minute.